To go rogue today, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna do off the cuff recording. I wasn't planning on recording today, but here we are. We are gonna talk about some important things. So 3, 2, 1. Hey guys, it's Mindy Linscombe, your host of the Something New Show, where we are learning how to live a life worth celebrating. And we're going a little rogue today. I wasn't planning on recording, but you know, when you have an idea and you have something you want to talk about, I just called Liz and I said, Liz, meet me at the studio. Let's talk today about the 10 ways that I grew my business when I started, because I have had so many conversations in the last couple of weeks with coaching clients and people that have reached out to me wanting coffee, whatever, and saying, hey, how did you do it? How did you start? How did you do it? And it's actually, I know I've told my story of my genesis of my company, but I have never really told you some of the things that I would recommend for you to do if you're thinking about starting a business. So I think this is an important time to talk about these things. I know there's a lot of women, especially, but maybe some men too, that are in my shoes. You are working a career that you may or may not enjoy. You have a business idea. You're thinking about starting a business and you're like, how do you do it? So I will say you do need to make sure you have an idea that is a need in the marketplace. And when you just have an idea and you haven't sold it, it might not be a need in the marketplace. But if you have an idea and you have sold it, or you have seen people buy it and nobody's doing it well enough, then it's time to stop and think about, what do I do with this idea? So first, I want you to know, I'm going to tell it as if you are opening a bridal store, in the sense that's what I did, but it's so applicable to anybody's business. But I basically started from zero, negative zero, let's just say that, because I had to even get a big old loan to start my business. I started with negative zero, and now it's a 7-figure business, and we have more than one business now. We have 4 businesses, and it didn't just happen overnight. It did happen, I think, relatively quickly, but still it took a lot. So I'm going to give you the 10 ways that I grew my business. And if you're listening, wanting to start a business, this will work for you. So first of all, my husband and I made a choice to live off of a very small income. So number one, you're going to have to make some major sacrifices in your personal budget. All right. If you are used to certain things and perks like gym memberships and nicer cars or whatever, this might not be for you. That's one of the biggest things I say to start out with. You're going to sacrifice your luxuries in life, if you have any, and you're going to sacrifice a ton of your time before you get paid. So first, you're going to live off of a very minimal income. In fact, we went down to 1 teacher salary when we started our business, because we were both teachers. We went down to 1 teacher salary. I went all in on the business. We decided to live off of 1. And then whenever I could, I took on little things like piano lessons. I used to teach piano lessons when I could, in between hours of my bridal shop being open. I was like, hey, let me kind of put this together like a puzzle and try to make ends meet. And so I know a lot of entrepreneurs become Uber drivers, Instacart delivery people, whatever they can to kind of make sure that they continue the income of, you know, a little bit of dripping in while they're starting this fresh new idea. Just last week, I was in Nashville and my Uber driver dropped me off one night, and he was like singing along to a song, and I was like, he has this fun personality. Turns out he's a recording artist, but what is he doing late at night? He's driving Ubers to make ends meet. So this is real life, you guys. This is what Jordan and I did. Went down to 1 income. I think it was like $37,000 a year as a teacher, which is not that bad actually in the marketplace, but we lived off of that for 3 years. That's what we made every year. And so we just supplemented with different things, and we got rid of every single potential luxury item in our life. So we were not a member of a gym. We went down to 1 car. We literally did not do anything fun on the weekends with our friends. We enjoyed the beautiful landscape of Colorado for free, went on hikes, biked, whatever we could do to keep ourselves busy, because honestly, we were just working on that dream of the business. All right. The second thing we did was we went knocking on banks' doors for a bank loan, because it is really, in our industry, heavy inventory cost of goods. And we didn't have $100,000 to go buy a bunch of inventory, but that's what we needed in order to make our business idea work. So if you need a loan, you will probably be rejected many times over before you get a yes. And so it was a lot of knocking on doors. And then we assessed what would we need a loan for. We needed it for our inventory. We needed it for a year of expenses. That's what our game plan was, our inventory and a year of expenses. And so that's what we got in our loan, just because we didn't know what was going to happen as soon as our doors opened. So when we opened our doors, we were able to secure a $100,000 loan, and we applied 10,000 of it to our build out, which I'll never forget. We were on our hands and knees putting in flooring, cheap flooring that we could find at Home Depot on the clearance section. We were, I just remember everything that we supplied that original store with was from the clearance section of Home Depot. So we were like, okay, what color paint? Well, let's see what paint is on sale. What kind of trim? Well, what kind of trim is on sale? What kind of, fixtures are we going to have? Let's go to the lighting area. Oh, that's a chandelier on sale. Like literally whatever we could get that was similar to the aesthetic we were going for. We didn't have the luxury to pick whatever we wanted. We just got whatever was on sale. We got in so many arguments putting that flooring in. I remember we were about halfway done putting the flooring in our first 900 square foot store. And we looked at each other. We're like, okay, we are at each other's necks trying to put in flooring. And that was probably our last home renovation project we've ever done together. We hired the best flooring installer ever, and we just thanked him so much as part of our bank loan, and it was the best money we ever spent in that project, because everything else we did by hand with family members. We had our dads helping us when they were in town just to get that build out done. But we used 10,000 on our build out. We used I want to say about 30,000 in inventory, and the rest were projected expenses, you know, things that we were planning, internet, advertising, all the other stuff that might come up throughout that year. So don't give up. You will probably have to leverage an asset to get a bank loan. So if you own a house, and even if you have a loan on it, you can still leverage the amount of equity that you already have in it. And that's what we did. We leveraged the asset of our home. It was a small little starter home, and we had some equity in it. So what we did was we just leveraged that to get the bank loan. So don't be surprised if they're like, hey, we want to leverage your car. We want to leverage whatever you might else own, but that's how you get some money to get it going. I remember that was the scariest thing I ever did, 6-figure loan. I was like, oh my goodness, but I'm going to make this happen. And Jordan was so great. He said the worst fear for him was that we'd look back when we're 60 years old and he would say, man, I don't want to look at my wife and look at her and hear her say to me, I wish I would have tried something, which was a very supportive spouse. I want to give him credit for that. And when he told me that, he's like, so please try. Please do this with all your heart. Try, because I'd rather us do that than at 60 years old, you say, I wish I would have tried. So I hope you marry somebody like that. That's like, hey, this really is a need in the marketplace. You have a good idea. Let's go all in. I just heard Dan Martell in person last week when I was in Nashville say he made a decision one day to go pro. And it was like, I'm not going to play with this idea anymore. I'm not going to just hope it takes off. Like, I'm going to go all in. And I think that's what happened to me. I mean, I was only 27 years old, but when my husband said, I don't want you to have any regrets, I said, okay, well then we're going to go all in. I'm going to quit my job that has a retirement plan, that has a great little medical package, had the salary annual. It was like very safe, but I said, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to go all in on this bridal shop dream. And this is where we are today. So it's pretty cool to see it happen. The third thing is to find someone that is already doing it successfully and ask for help. Say, do you think you could either teach me? Do you think that you have time to spend a day giving me the steps of what I need to know getting started? Specifically in my world, that's what I do now. I'm a professional business coach for bridal shop owners so that I can help them avoid all of the 17 years of mistakes that I've made, help them become more profitable sooner. And it is so awesome to do that. But if you're in a different industry, have a different idea, find someone who's done it successfully. And I still remember asking someone, hey, what were some things that you wish you knew before I even opened? And they gave me like an hour of their time on the phone. They were not even in my same city. I called them. I begged for an hour. I got an hour. They gave me a list of the things that they would do right from the beginning. I followed it to a T, and then I started just finding smarter and smarter and smarter people to learn from. And so definitely find someone and ask some of your basic questions so you don't make the same mistakes. Okay. Number four, I like to say start small, low risk. So, don't quit your day job if this is not enough or 30% at least of your day job's income before you make the leap. So start small. And what I mean by that is I didn't go and open this 20,000 square foot building right out of the gate. What I did is I rented a 900 square foot retail unit for $1,200 a month so that I could plan, okay, in a year at a glance, I will be paying this amount in rent for a year at a glance. And that was, I planned on that in my business loan. And I started very small, one bridal dressing room in the 900 square foot space, and then two like little dressing rooms for other things. But my point is, too many of us, I do want you to go pro, meaning it's all your energy, it's all your time, it's all your passion, but it shouldn't be like where you overextend your leverage, overextend your reach, overextend your ability to perform the amount of sales it takes to do what you want to do. So I totally recommend, if you need a storefront, if you need a truck for your idea or whatever, buy something that you can actually see a mile marker on when you're going to be able to pay for that, or when the ROI is going to eventually show up. Don't go crazy and say, hey, I have this $1 million idea, I'm going to totally go. I mean, first of all, you won't even get a loan for $1 million if you don't have enough assets to leverage it, but don't go, crowdfund all these things from all your family members to do something for $1 million when you need to start with a simple on ramp of like, let me sell it to the people I know need this product first. I'm going to sell it to 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, and just learn from all those sales. And eventually you'll start to scale. But again, start small, low risk. Okay. Number 5, network like crazy. So I think our most underutilized tool in sales is our network. It's so important to say, who do I know that might know somebody that needs my product? So I have friends, I have family, I have colleagues that might need to know about my product. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go find them and tell them what I do. And so in the beginning, I mean, you can imagine I did not have customers. So I started before there was Facebook, before there was Google paid ads. There was Google, but there was not Google paid ads. So I'm just telling you, I am old school a little bit in my approach, but it's still new school. And when I say that, it's because it's still the real way that you generate sales is through relationship and through referral. And at the beginning, when I started my business, I was like a door knocker in a way. I was like, who needs my product, or who would know people that needs my product? So I signed up for every bridal show I could attend. So if there's a trade show for the type of product you sell, I love shaking hands with the real life customer. And when I meet them in real life, there's something about a human-to-human connection. They're like, yes, I like that person. I want to come see what they do. I'll come visit their store, check them out. So I did a lot of trade shows for bridal shows. Then also totally free time during the week because I didn't have any customers. I got in my car, and this is very desperate, but I got in my car and I went from venue to venue to venue to venue every day, all day long. And I said, hi, my name is Mindy. I'm starting a new bridal store. It's called Something New. We're located right over here. I'd love a chance to tell you about it. Oh, we're good. We're not interested. I got so many no's, but occasionally I would get people that are like, oh, really? That's cool. And I get to know them as a person. I'd show genuine interest, build relationship. And they would say, yeah, let me hear more about your story. So I tell them my story. You got to have a good 60-second kind of like, this is why I started a bridal store, or why I started this company. I had a problem. I thought of a solution. Nobody else is doing it like that. And this is what I really hope to do when I serve others. This is what the promise I hope to bring as I deliver this amazing product to whoever it is that I'm talking about needs what I have. And so when I went to these bridal stores when I went to these venues, I just said, I had a bad experience when I was shopping for a wedding dress. I had a really terrible experience. So I decided I don't want it to be that way for everybody else. I've created this new approach, and this is how I do bridal. And I'd love for you to see what I do, and you're welcome to come by anytime. And here's my cell phone number. And if you think of a bride that you think I might be able to serve in a way that I just explained to you, please send them to me. I'd be honored to take care of them. And so it was just a genuine, very consistent approach, but it was every single day I went to 2 or 3 places, and I started with venues. I eventually ran out of venues, so I'd circle back through. I then went to florist, cake bakery places, anybody that had a storefront that I knew might be in the wedding industry that knew brides. So I'm like, let me get to know where these brides live, where they're kind of already talking to people. And I started to build friendships. Then I also started to go to networking events. And this is all like in the same time that I'm starting my business. So as you can imagine, I'm super busy because I'm trying to decide what's the product I'm going to buy. What am I going to charge? How do my appointments look? I've never been in sales. Let me figure out how to learn how to do sales. Now I got a network so I can start getting traffic and sending people my way. So I'd go to networking events and I said, hi, same thing, 60 seconds or less. Hi, my name is Mindy, started a bridal store. I'd love for you to come check it out. I had a bad experience when I was shopping for a dress. So I kind of tried to create a different experience. This is why it's unique. This is the promise I hope to give to any of your brides that you might know need a dress. And so then people started to get word of that. Once I started to get customers still on the same point, network like crazy, I did number six. Okay. Number six is I followed up with every single potential lead. So I didn't just say, oh, thanks for stopping by. I got their name and information. I started to build my list. Again, this is pre Google paid ads. So I would just say, okay, what's your name and number? What's your email address? It's so nice to meet you. Let me just keep in touch with you. And then I would follow up with them a week later. Hey, I know you're engaged, looking for a wedding dress. Thanks for stopping by and seeing my store last week. Would you like to come in another time and try dresses on? I got something that I thought of for you. And so then I just started to really detail follow up with any potential lead, whether it was that planner I met at a networking event last week and she said she had a friend. I'd reach out to the planner and say, hey, I know you mentioned you had a friend that just got engaged. Is there any way I can work with her or invite her in for a special appointment? I'd be honored to take care of her. So I personally was keeping track in my phone of all the people. Like, okay, I met this girl at a networking event. She said she had a friend. I'd make a note about it. The next day I'd follow up. And so you have to have these referrals, but then you have to be like insane about seeing that as a potential client. How can you serve them? What do you need? How do I have something that you need that might be the best you've ever had? And outserve them too, by the way, like outserve them like crazy. But then guess what you're going to do? You're going to like rinse and repeat. You're going to ask them if they have any friends. You're going to say, do you have any people that you could refer and give me your referrals? And so I just slowly started to build my contact list of people and brides that need my service. Okay. Number seven, people always ask me, when do you pay yourself? Well, the strategy we took, because we really, really wanted to live minimally and not take a paycheck right away. The strategy we took was we took 3 years to pay off that $100,000 loan before. So we were constantly every month we would pay our accounts payables, like everything we owed from our vendors, our cost of goods, we would pay that. And then anything extra we'd pay off the loan, pay all of our bills and then pay off the loan, pay all of our bills, pay off that loan. And so by the end of 3 years, living very minimally, we had paid off the $100,000 and now we didn't have to pay off the loan with the extra every month. We could start taking a little bit. And so that was really, really cool. But I tell people, it might be 3 years like us before you take a paycheck if you do the strategy. It's a safer approach. It helped us get through a few recessions because of this approach, because we weren't worried about excessive debt. We just had our monthly expenses and we were keeping up with them. We also would put a little bit in a savings account for a rainy day, and that has totally helped us get through the recession. The thing too, with the same point of paying off your debt and before you start paying yourself, is really making sure you manage your expenses. Some people start seeing all these sales coming in, so then they start to add expenses like, oh, we should get this or we should get that. And I'm just saying, there's so many things that you don't need in your business that you're paying for. There are expenses that are ridiculous. So I would say, if I were your business coach right now, let's pull out a list of everything you pay in expenses and start to audit, like, what is a true necessary? What drives sales? And if it doesn't drive sales, take it out. If it doesn't drive sales, take it out. So like some people would be like, oh, do you have like cute little branded, I have the best branded garment bags, but I don't have branded like shopping bags that I might throw little items in. And people are like, oh, you don't have your brand on that? I'm like, no, because it just gets thrown away. So I have a nice bag, but I'm like, it's not necessary for me to pay X amount per bag. I'll do the just color that is on brand and then that's fine. But I'm thinking through all the crazy things like fancy on hold music that maybe you do or don't need right now. There's just so many like scents. I love scents inside of our bridal store. Like we have a scent, which is really cool, but we didn't always have a scent because I couldn't afford that at the beginning. There's build out things inside of your store that you don't need to necessarily go all elevated with. Start small. And then start to elevate your brand and do things that drive more sales. So if you have a limited budget and at the beginning, you're going to always put it towards things that are going to bring you more customers and help you convert more sales. Don't do it on the things that really don't matter. I've seen so many businesses make mistakes on getting the top of the line something when they really didn't need it. Okay, number eight, I hired first employee was to hire someone that gives me more time back to make more sales. So I made sure that that person literally could do the things that didn't matter if it was me, because I was the salesperson. I said, okay, let me hire somebody that can free up my time so I can take more appointments. So once my appointment book became full because of all the tasks I had to do and sales, I was like, okay, how do I get rid of these tasks so I can just do more sales? So some of my first hires were things like a steamer that could steam dresses, somebody that could place orders or open boxes and check in the dresses. And those actually have become really elevated roles in our company now because of the volume that we have and the accuracy needed. So now it's actually management in my company doing that. But at the beginning, I didn't need to spend time steaming dresses if I could make more sales and hire someone to steam dresses. So it's really important to, when you hear me, is like, what are you doing maybe administratively that would free up your time to allow you to make more sales? Okay. So don't just think bridal. I'm thinking about all the different, avenues of what you do, fulfillment. Like I know companies that maybe package things up, or like as a gifting company, is there somebody that can help you with that? Or do you need to do that? Is there a special way that has to happen? Do a little kind of evaluation of what do I do in my time and does it generate income? If it's not generating more income, then I need to, if I could spend my time to generate more income, hire somebody that can do some of the things that other people could help you with besides just you. And I promise you, people can sometimes surprise you and do things even better than you're doing it. I'm always like, if they can do it half as good as me, hire it out. It's even more amazing if they can do it 75%, 80% as good as you. But I would tell you, my current leadership team can do things better than me now. I look at our leaders and we're like, wow, you have way past my credentials in that topic, in that area. But what's cool is I've grown as a leader where I used to think, oh, nobody else can do it as good as me. And then I started to put people in because I was like, oh, they could probably do it half as good as me. And now they're doing it even better than me. So that does transition the longer you do business, where you're like, they are an expert in that area. But it starts with you getting over yourself to think you're the only person that can do that. All right. Number nine, if you're married, this is something you need to do. You need to always talk about whatever this thing is actually going to cost you, because it's not just costing you money. It's costing you time. It's costing you giving up maybe a social life. It's costing you when you don't have kids. It's costing you, if you're going to get to go on that trip. It's costing you delayed gratification. Maybe you wanted to get a house, or you wanted to grow up, moving to this city or whatever. There's a lot of business owners that don't think through the long play. Like, make sure you pick a city to plant in that you will plan to expand. Meaning like your growth plan matches the city you live in. Pick, a profession. Like for me, I'm in a profession that's Saturdays. I knew from day one that Saturdays are our biggest days. Was I ready to commit for the long haul to Saturdays in my career? Because that's different than another job that's maybe Monday through Friday. So there's been sacrifices that we had to make and we have to continuously talk about, but we really talked about at the beginning, what are we willing to sacrifice together before we go all in, before we go pro. So make sure you evaluate what the thing, whatever the thing is actually going to cost you besides just money. And then lastly, we were consistently assessing where we were at. So we didn't just go, okay, push, 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 push. We would push. And then we, at the end of a quarter, since day one, we would evaluate and we would correct. And then we push, 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 another quarter, evaluate, and then correct. If you don't stop and look at everything, look at the trends, look at the numbers, what clients are coming back, which ones dropped off, was there satisfaction? Like, it's just really cool. Even as I've just in the last year started my own coaching business, I've noticed, I've been coaching stores for a long time, but I noticed, hey, I'm going to create something that over delivers so much with these customers that they'll want to keep coming back. And we have like a 95% return rate on these clients where they keep coming back and buying more and elevating, getting deeper, farther along, renewing, all of that. So when you sell something, start to evaluate if they don't buy from you again, what were you missing? Why didn't they come back? And that's where you correct. And if they're not buying, what is it about your product? Is it not priced right? Is it not delivered right? Is it missing something in how it serves the person? Is it not the right? I mean, as a buyer, I learned very quickly how to buy according to my market. So there's things that you can start to correct, but if you don't stop and evaluate, you'll look up. I promise you, you'll look up. And I talked to 4 business owners today. You will look up 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. I mean, I talk to people with all levels of business and they'll be like, how did I get here? What happened? I thought I was making good money and all of a sudden I'm here. I have a problem. I've created something way more diluted than I imagined. And I say, well, it's because you weren't consistently looking at all of your numbers and then correcting. So you could be over on payroll. You could be, like I said, overpricing your product. There could be so many problems, but if you're not evaluating it regularly and then correcting, you're going to look up one day, like I did today. And I talked to somebody that is in a situation. You could look up one day and be like, how did I get here? And I don't want that to be you. So what we did, and this is part of our success, is that Jordan and I sat down every quarter and we were making regular changes to our business to make sure we were on track to meet the goals, to pay off debt, to have a profitable business. So again, I really think these are amazing tips for if you're thinking about starting a business or you're in the new phases, or even if you've been running a business for a while, these are how you can make sure you stay on track and your business stays profitable for the long haul. All right, if you're interested in keeping, like continuing learning more, I want to answer your questions about business, about being a working mom, about whatever it might be that you are dreaming of, that you're like, how do I do this if I'm a working mom? Or maybe you're not a working mom yet. Maybe you're a stay at home and you want to start something. Please ask me those questions in the comments. Tell me who you are, what you're wanting me to talk about, what you're wanting me to answer, because I promise you I've been there. I've been in the tension, and I'm just so thankful that we are in a state now where it's like we're getting to help people like you do what they love. And so definitely put in the comments, give me your email address, subscribe, like. I really would love to gain some more subscribers to the show because I feel like it is helping people. I get stories all the time of how it's helping you guys. So thank you for that. And let's stay in touch. And I can't wait to come back to you next week with some more of this great content. Thanks for joining us today on the Something New Show.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the show, rate, review, and share with a friend. Also, follow the Something New Show on Instagram and Facebook. If you want a fuller experience, watch the show on YouTube to help you create a life worth celebrating.